ways to support missionaries. Did I pass these out previously? Anybody remember? Okay, long time ago. I'm going to copy them, make copies of it, and put them on the table. Because these are ways in which an individual or a congregation can support in addition to or in place of financial support. Now, obviously, when financial support can be given, that's always needed. But we have many missionaries come through, and we're just not able to support all of them financially. But there's various ways that are identified in this list that they can be supported. But before I get to that, I'd like you to turn to Daniel, the Old Testament book of Daniel, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel. Daniel chapter 2. And I believe that this particular verse is apropos for this day that we're in. Daniel chapter 2, verse 20. Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding." Today we had a change of administration. Some people are happy about that, some people are not. To some people, it doesn't matter, okay? They just live in our great country and don't take a particular interest. I'd really rather a person were happy about the new administration or sad about the new administration than to not care, okay? Because that kind of indifference is not good. But I want you to be reminded, God sets up kings and takes down kings. And therefore, the change that we've seen take place may not have been according to your or my preference, but God is in control. And then I want to remind you about another passage, Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. And whether quoting this text or merely instructing us in what it teaches, Pastor has nevertheless given us what Romans 13, verse 1 and following says. "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power to do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same? For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil." In other words, we're supposed to obey the authorities that are over us. They do not always rule and reign in the way that we would like. There are many believers in Christ in various countries around the world who are living in great persecution. Those particular governments are not instruments for good to their people. But I need you to remember, Daniel lived under, what was it, four different kings, several, multiple kings. They weren't always sympathetic, but God gave Daniel favor. Paul died at the hands of the Romans. And he's writing here to the Roman Christians, and telling them, now submit yourselves to those in authority. And we need to do that too. It isn't always pleasing to us humanly. Well, there's a lot of things in life you and I know that are not always pleasing humanly. But what do we know we ought to do? We ought to trust God to help us to live with those things that are not pleasing to us as a man or a woman. And that's true for the administration that's come into power. Like I say, according to where you stand on political matters, it will, what I'm saying will not be a problem to you, or it may be a problem. But I would just remind us, this is, and when I say remind us, I'm not standing up here speaking in some, from some spiritual ivory tower. For I need to hear what I just said as much as you may need to hear it. Okay?
Amen.
Now, we're going to just end with that. But I have another thing before we get to 18 ways to support a missionary. I need to correct an error. I made a mistake. Now, I thought to myself, if you admit to making a mistake, what will you do to your credibility? People will no longer have trust or confidence in the things that you say if they know that you can make a mistake. As if you knew I couldn't make a mistake, huh? Some time ago, I don't know what set me off on it, but I talked about the My Pillow guy. And he has sheets now. Oh, by the way, do you know that the My Pillow guy, Kohl's department stores, and Bed Body and Beyond, Bed Bath and Beyond, are no longer going to sell the My Pillow products? They've yanked them from their stores. We're beginning to see the vengeance come about that we've been warned about with many conservative commentators. All right. Nevertheless, the My Sheets guy, My Pillows guy, has sheets, and they are from, they're made with Giza cotton, because the Giza cotton is the softest cotton. And then the ad on TV shows a map of the Goshen area. And the Goshen area in the Nile Delta, okay, that empties, does it empty into, or does it start on the Mediterranean? And the Goshen area of Egypt is where the Israelites lived. And one of the reasons they could be as productive as they were is because God brought it about that they were put there by the Egyptians. And it's a very fertile area. And I said, now, the Giza sheets, you know, that's really, in where they're at, that's Gaza. Well, I was just flat out wrong. I was mixed up. I went and I looked up my map out, and I looked, and Gaza is not the area of Goshen. Gaza is one of five principal Philistine cities. It's near the Mediterranean Sea, and today we would be hearing about it on the news as the Gaza Strip. So the only thing I know is the similarity of Giza and Gaza, the fact that I hear Gaza on certain, you know, news programs, whatever. I was just royally confused. And so, church, I want you to know I made a mistake. I don't want you to think that the My Pillows guy was using the wrong name. He's correct. I'm wrong. Okay? And so there, you got that. Now, I feel a whole lot better, you know, because I've made right a wrong. And I understand, you know what I'm talking about, because whenever you do something wrong, I know you like to make it right.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. I I thought I'd hear a resounding chorus of amens, but all right, now we're going to look at the last several ways to support missionaries. The first one tonight is recommendation support. In the book of Acts, it's where we'll be, the book of Acts. Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15, and we're looking at verse 40. Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. Recommendation support. Our endorsement of a missionary, when we take them on as part of our missions family, if we're not able to take them on as part of our missions family, but they continue to communicate with their prayer letters, which we make available over on our prayer letter rack, and we request prayer for them when we read of some specific need that they have. When pastor is talking with others and talking about missions, and he says, yeah, we had the Stovers here. They had a good ministry with us. Or some other missionary that's come through and he's in conversation with another pastor and makes reference to them. If a pastor were to call and say, we're looking for a missionary, who could you recommend? He, of course, would be able to do that. But most pastors don't need to do that because they get so many contacts from missionaries that they have that connection. But the recommendation support, and it's not always, in verse 40, it says being recommended. Not always is the kind of support that we can give identified that clearly, but in this case, it is. And so when we associate with a missionary in whatever manner, when visitors come in, other preachers come in, and as a preacher, I gravitate to the mission board, okay? Or like in our case where there's a rack with prayer letters and cards, you know, I go there and look. I'm always interested. Do they have any missionaries that I know? And that's a recommendation. Another way of supporting is security support. Look at chapter 17, Acts 17 and verse 9. And when they had taken security of Jason and of the other, they let them go. Now, there's two kinds of security, one that assumes responsibility for finances or conduct, and that's what's spoken of here, a financial security of Jason, and then they were let go. And then chapter 19 and verse 30, and when Paul would have entered in unto the people, the disciples suffered him not. They wanted protection for him. So you can have security in the sense of providing financial backing or saying, look, we'll see that he acts the way he ought to act, okay, that he won't misconduct himself, or will give protection, security support. You remember I spoke how when our daughter Monica first went into missions, and all while she was in missions, she was out of our church at Grace Bible, and we were her board. But to the country she went, we had to provide a letter verifying that the church would be security for her. And if she got into trouble, we'd speak for her. If she needed finances to get home, for example, we would see that she had it, and we had to provide, in at least one of the countries, evidence that we'd be able to do it. You know, you can't just write to a country and say, yeah, we'll take care of her, and you know, you don't have two nickels to rub together. They wanted to know that we could do it, so we sent them some of our year's financial records, if I remember. And so security support, a church can give that. Again, not any one church is going to do all of these things on the list. The same as no one individual will do all of the things on this list. And then they're sending support. Now, we're still in the book of Acts. I'm going to go back to chapter 13. I'm going to go chapter 13, Acts chapter 13, 1 to 4. 13, 1 to 4. Now, there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. Sending support. They were sent out by the church. And we see this again in chapter 17. Chapter 17 and verse 10. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming hither went into the synagogue of the Jews. Verse 14. And then immediately the brethren sent away Paul to go, as it were, to the sea, but Silas and Timotheus abode there still. Verse 15. And they that conducted Paul brought him unto Athens, and receiving a commandment unto Silas and Timotheus for to come to him with all speed, and they departed. So you have, you see, Christian people, you have congregations sending Paul and Silas and Timotheus, and sending these people. It is important for somebody who wants to go out serving the Lord, whether they be an individual in our own country who wants to go out, for example, as an evangelist, or could be in our own country and they want to go out and start a church in Podunkville. Okay? It's important that these people not just get a bright idea and they think about it long enough, and they pray on it, and they convince themselves that this is what God wants. And so they're going to just go. And so they tell the people where they worship the church. They say, look, we're going up to Podunkville. We're going to start a church. The common reaction is, oh, wonderful, that's great. Oh, good, good, good. The leadership of that church, when they're done rejoicing about what this fellow just said, they need to have examined him. They need to be able to verify that he is of spiritual stature to do what he said he wants to do.
Right.
And then that church needs to send him out. Now, Brother Dale expressed a desire and an interest in jail work. Okay, and he was burdened to be able to go into jails and reach people, and he expressed that interest, he expressed that desire. But that, you know, he didn't just simply say it one Wednesday night and then next Monday call the Allegheny County Jail and say, "Can I come in?" No, that whole thing progressed and developed, and when he did that ministry, which now, of course, has shifted up to Monroe County Jail in Rochester, all of that went through this process of this local church acknowledging that he was of the spiritual stature to do this work. And I don't know, I saw this on Facebook. I think I even shared it perhaps, but it showed a fella standing there looking sort of starry-eyed, and the reading over it was, "So you want to be a preacher, but you don't stack chairs?" In other words, a man who's going to be a servant of the Lord has got to prove himself and evidence in various ways that he can do that. Now, we know that was the case with Brother Dale. He makes a good illustration in a lot of these here. But he was already committed and serving here. And yes, he had some offices he was elected to. He had some, like his Sunday school class, a task that he was appointed to. But there were other things when something needed to be done. Okay, and Dale was made aware of it. Or pastor would say to Dale, "You know, we got thus and such," and you know, Dale say, "I'll take care of it." And he would do it. What was he doing? He was evidencing that this church could send him out as we have. You see, this is what goes on. A lot of times people don't understand that. And they think Dale was just sitting at home sucking his thumb and got a bright idea to start a jail ministry. Believe me. Now, I have never heard, if he's done it, I've never heard him. Okay? I've never heard him complain. You say, "What? How does that fit in here?" Listen, doing the work of the ministry is not easy. There's burdens that need to be borne. Being a pastor is not an easy thing. The average person in the church sees only a small portion of what a pastor does. Those of us who know Dale and interact with him on a Wednesday night or a Thursday night at Bible study, okay, we only see a portion of what he does. And the heavy part, okay, is the burdens that he bears. That didn't cooperate. pastor for you, his people. Dale for the inmates, you see. And that's the big part. That's the heavy part. But the church is a sending agency. Then the next one is referral support. Wow. Chapter 18. Still in Acts. Acts chapter 18. And we're going to verse 27. "And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who when he was come, helped them much when he had believed through grace." Referral. They gave Paul a referral. Now, here a couple of years ago, Dale took his first trip down south, is the way we put it, which means anything beyond Cuba. now, he took a trip to several southern states. Now, how did he get in touch with them churches? Pastor gave him a referral. See, that's what we just read. Gave him a referral to those churches. Well, you say, how did Pastor know about them churches? Oh, he just got online and saw a list there and just went down to him and said, "Oh, I'll think I'll call that one." No, these were men that Pastor knew. And therefore, when Pastor would call and explain about Dale, and a number of those churches that Brother Dale went to had already heard of his ministry because of their familiarity with this church. But it's a referral. He was referred by someone else. Now listen, that someone else are people who could be trusted. You know, these were not troublemakers writing this letter, okay, here in verse 27, and when he was disposed to pass to Achaia, the brethren wrote. They wrote a letter. So today we might say, we send an email. Well, you know, this isn't just any old Tom, Dick, or Harry. This is a person that has credibility. And so did these people, had credibility. So that when he was come, he helped them much. And that's important. Last one. Nah, you didn't think I could get through them tonight, did you? I didn't tell you we had one, two, three, four, two, four. I can't even count. One, two, three, four, five. I had five tonight. I'm just sailed right through them. All right, Acts chapter 20 and verse 38. Acts chapter 20 and verse 38. Oh, this is an important one. Acts 20, verse 38. Sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him unto the ship. There was a sadness because they knew that this was going to be the last time they'd see Paul. But this is titled Friendly Support. These were individuals who were supportive of Paul and friendly to him. They didn't just say at the house where he stayed, well, Paul, we're going to miss you, but if you happen to come back through here again, be sure to stop in. No, they accompanied him down to the ship. Okay? Maybe in our day, they accompanied him to the airport where he was going to get on the plane and he was going to fly to wherever. He was going off somewhere else and there was no likelihood that they would see him again. And you know, when missionaries are sent out, the kid family, they're going to Cape Verde and is having all kinds of difficulty in getting there. And I have a letter to pass out. I laid it down somewhere. They indeed need prayer. But when it's time for them to go, their pastor, Phil Seeley, who's the current pastor of Grace Bible Church, he will take one of the church vans and drive them up to the airport. And I don't remember where they're flying out of anymore, but they're going to go there. And what is that? That's friendly support. You need somebody who's going to be able to do that.
That's right.
Going to be able to provide that kind of support. That's what these people did here. I'll make more copies of this and lay them out in case anybody would like to have one to look at and to consider. And the way you could use something like this would be to look at our missionaries. Many of you have taken prayer cards of the missionaries. You get the prayer letters. You could take a prayer letter for Liberty Behind Bars. And you could look at the list and just ask yourself, and Lord, is there something on this list of ways to support that I could do for Dale and Amy? And you look down through, you come to one, and you've got something that you can do. Amen. There's things we can do. There's so much more that we can do than just to come and sit. Okay, and there's, and I know many of you do a whole lot more than just coming and sitting. There's many things that you do by way of service here in the church. I understand that, but for missions, there's more that we can do than to come and sit, and of course give an offering. That's important. Father in heaven, thank you for today. Thank you for your love and grace, your goodness. Your provisions to us. Help us to be conscious of our missionaries.